Shabbos, Perek Dalet, Mishnah, Base 4-2. One more on Hatmana. Here we say, Tomlin Beshlachin. You may use animal pelts. Shlachin are pelts, meaning it's the hide of an animal that sells the hair on it. And you can use that as the thing in which you're wrapping your food to keep warm on Shabbos. Umetaltonosan. And actually, you can unwrap it, whatever, no problem, because the pelts, the shlachin, are not considered to be muktzah. They have a use. What's the use? You can use them for sitting on. That's what they would use them in time of the Mishnah, etc., like as a mat. Begizei tzemer. Same goes. You could use shearings of wool, like you shore your sheep. That's not a problem. But the ein mataltanos on those, you can't move directly, because that is a category of, according to the Mishnah, muktzah machmas chesron kis. Those are things that are of value, and they're only really used in there. You'd normally only use your wool for its highest and best value, which is for wool for spinning into, you know, textiles, because, you know, you spent a whole year getting your sheep to grow that nice coat of wool so you could shear it off, so you wouldn't waste it normally. Therefore, you wouldn't let the kids touch it, etc. And as I said, two Mishnayos ago in my introduction to Muktzah, so this is considered to be Muktzah Machmas Chesron Kis. Now, that's the case, the Mishnah says, how could you insulate with wool if it's Muktzah? You know, imagine, it's worth seeing a picture if you can. All the Mishnah books have them. Basically, imagine like a box. Into the box, you have like a lot of, you know, wool shearings. And then in the middle of the wool shearings, you'd have the pot surrounded by the wool shearings. So, and then you might even have like a lid on the pot. And on top of the lid, you'll have more wool shearings, keeping it all warm inside your little insulation box. So that's the case. How would you ever be able to get your food out? Because you'd have to move the wool, and that's going to be a problem of muktzah. So the Mishnah says, no problem at all. Ketzer hu oseh, how would you move the wool shearings out of the way? They're muktzah. No problem. Notlas akisli vehen noflos. Just pick up the lid, and the shearings will fall off by themselves. If you recall, my hakdama two Mishnahs ago, I said it's no problem. You can always move muktzah if you're metaltel do tiltul min hatsad. You do indirect movement. And here what's happening is you're picking up the lid, and that's indirectly moving the wool shearings. So while you can't take your hand and scoop them or push them or brush them away, because that would be moving muktzah directly, indirectly moving it through tiltul min hatsad is permitted, and that's what it's suggesting over here. Couple questions you might ask. Let me answer them now. The first question you might ask is, wait a second, why is this wool muktzah if it's designated for use as insulation? And the answer is, it wouldn't be if indeed a person said, I'm keeping this as my, you know, Shabbos after Shabbos insulation box, and the wool inside is, I'm keeping my cholent pot warm, then that wool now has been designated as insulation and stuffing and not as wool for use in spinning clothing. And that being the case, it would not be muktzah at all. It would be mukhan, set aside for its Shabbos material. But the assumption here on this Mishnah is that you're just using this as an ad hoc once off this Shabbos, and next, after Shabbos, you'll take the wool out and spin it into a suit. That being the case, it's still muktzah machmas chesron kis, because you wouldn't want your kids to ruin the wool, which will become a wool suit after Shabbos. The second question you might ask is, we said that while there are six categories of muktzah, according to me and my schematic there, we said there's a thing called a basis, a base for muktzah, and we said if you have something that's a utensil below and above it is a muktzah going into Shabbos, so then once Shabbos comes in, the base, the basis, is a muktzah also, because the basal davar aser, it's supporting something that's muktzah, and it remains muktzah even if you would remove the muktzah that was on the kli. That was the base. So here you've got a case exactly like that, it sounds like. You have a lid. On top of the lid, you got wool. The lid is the basis. The wool is on top of it. The wool is muktzah. So therefore, the lid should be muktzah too. You shouldn't be able to move the lid because the lid should be a basis, a muktzah item. The answer is that the reason why I don't want to say that a basis is a seventh category of muktzah is because what makes the lid, or what makes something that's a basis muktzah, is that it's subordinate to the muktzah item. And that's a bit of a conceptual thing. It's not just a simple category of muktzah. That's a, you know, black and white. So your most classic illustration of this point is if, let's say, you have a tray and you have two things on the tray. You have some coins and you also have your chassan watch or your challahs for Shabbos. Both of those are considered to be more valuable and more significant on Shabbos than the coins. So therefore, the tray is a basis for a davar mutter and a davar aser. the chassid watches the mutra thing, or the challahs are mutra thing, and the coins are asher thing. But we wouldn't say that the tray is subordinate to the asher thing, because it's the more important thing is the more valuable thing, and therefore would be subordinate to the more valuable thing, and therefore would not be muktzah. Similarly, over here, even though you have the wool shearings on top of the lid, which is serving which? It's not that in the case of coins in a tray, it's the tray serving the coins. Here, what you have is, even though you have wool shearings on top of the lid, the primary thing you have is the lid to keep the food warm, and adding additional insulation, serving the lid, if you will, is the wool shearings. So you wouldn't say that the lid is subordinate to the wool. If anything, the wool is kind of subordinate to the lid. And that being the case, the lid is not a bussis. It's not subordinated to the wool and not a bussis. So it's not muktzah. So no problem, says the Mishnah again. Pick it up by the handle, the lid, and let the wool shearings fall where they may. That's tiltum and atzad and permitted. Now, here's the thing. What about taking the actual chalent pot now out of the box? And you'd like have this, like, you know, you'd imagine you have like the indented area where the pot used to be left inside the box that has, you know, in the showing sort of the tracing, the shape of where the pot had been, pressing the wool against the sides of the box. Can you do that? Rabbi Eliezer says, or Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says no. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah Omer, Kupa, if you have the box like I described before, so Mata al Tzida v'notel. You should tip it to the side and take it out, because if you meaning the push-up shot is you tip the box on its side and like sort of dish out the chalent while the chalent pot is staying inside the box, and that way you never take the chalent pot out of the box, because if you did take it out of the box, there's the possibility of the wool shearings that were surrounding the chalent pot like kind of caving in. And now you have no place to put your chalent pot back inside the box because the wool has fallen away. And the only way you could get the chalent pot back inside the box would be to push the wool to the sides. That would be tiltul, direct movement of mukta, which is forbidden. And we're afraid you'll do that to keep your food warm. And that being the case, Elazar ben Azariah says, no taking the pot out of the box ever. That's how the Bar Tanur learns. The Gra actually learns, interestingly, that what we're talking about over here is you dafka take the pot out after tipping it to the side, so there's never a chance of the, you know, if you're holding it sideways as you pull the box out, so then all the wool will fall, you know, to one direction. In any case, that's Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah Shita, but the Chachamim, so that's what it says here, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah Omer, Kupa, if you have the box like I described, Mata al Tzida v'notel, tip it to the side and take it out, Shema Yitol v'enu yachol l'achzir, lest you do take it out and you won't be able to put it back inside again, and then you'll do a derabund of moving the wool around. But the Chum say, Chum Omrim, no to the machzir. They say, no problem, take the chalent pot out, put it back in again. And we're not afraid you're going to, the hole will fall in. And if the wool does fall in, ruining your little place to put your chalent pot back in, okay, so you won't move it because you're not going to be a Machal Shabbos. And the halacha is like the Chachamim. Mishnah continues on by saying, Lo kisal me ba'od yom. If you haven't done your covering of your pot, let's say, on Friday afternoon, meaning like as I gave in the introduction in the last Mishnah, your soup pot hasn't got a lid on it, and now it's Friday night, and the soup isn't covered. It's off the fire, but just isn't covered. Lo yachasenu b'mishatech shach. You can't cover it now that it's become nightfall and dark, because we said that would be hatmana for the first time and forbidden. Kisahu, if you had covered it on Friday afternoon before Shabbos came in, v'nizgala, and then it became uncovered, you took the pot lid off, whatever the case is, mutl l'chasoso, you can, yes, once again cover it up again. Finally, says the Mishnah, memale sakiton, you could fill up a pitcher, let's say a pitcher of cold water. V'nosa l'tachas akaro tachas akeses, you may put your pitcher of cold water under the pillow or under the mattress to keep the cold in. That's one shot. We'll stick to that shot. The idea is that to insulate something to keep it cold, so it shouldn't get hot, is yes permitted, because the whole rationale for the gezeira doesn't apply to food you're trying to keep cold.